All right, everyone, here is this past Sunday's first hour broadcast of Spiritual Perspectives. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you're in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we're going to be focusing on power again. And I want you to look at one of the ways that power comes to God's people. Listen to this a little bit, though.
What's your name? Now repeat the verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
An awesome song by Ahmad Hall and friends. It's entitled Walk Uprightly.
I like to keep it intimate and not so formal. We're here to worship God. And tonight I just want to do it like if it were rehearsal, Lord. You know. As I said, I'm so privileged to work with such gifted and anointed vocalists, and I want you to hear the gift that God has given them. Go ahead, Shaquilla, can you give us a little more?
No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, that walk uprightly. Every blessing he will give to them that walk uprightly, that walk uprightly. Every blessing he will give to them that walk uprightly. You gotta walk uprightly.
Give it up for Mr. Keeler here, y'all.
I'll definitely be letting you hear more of that. I love it. Walk Uprightly by Ahmad Hall and friends. Wow. They put that together so well. Nice jazz tones, nice singing. All right, we're taking a look at power. And one of the things that I want to just interject about power, attitude, disposition. One more time. Attitude, disposition. I don't want any of us to seek God's power so that we can have bragging rights. You know, isn't it interesting that so often people will realize that they have this ability to really, really sing. And they'll decide, you know what? I want to sing and sing really, really well for my own glory. I want my name in the spotlight. I want to shine. I want people to know my name and call my name as a result of my great singing ability. And you know what? Truth be told, there are people in the secular music industry, song industry, people in the religious song industry who feel that way, even if they don't admit it, even if they don't admit it to themselves, much less to anyone else. I want to shine. I want that spotlight shining on me bright. I want to be known by millions of people, loved by millions of people for my singing. And so often, people will know that ultimately their ability to sing was given to them by God, even though they may practice and practice and practice. Even the ability to practice is given by God. If they lost the use of their vocal cords, they wouldn't be able to practice anymore. Some people become paralyzed, and maybe through extensive therapy, they could regain some of that ability to sing again. Many do not. Yeah. Even the ability to practice is given by God. The ability to improve is given by God. It is all a gift from the Creator, from the one who makes the vocal cords and teaches us how to sing. Some people really do want God to be glorified through their singing. There are people who really want to be great teachers. They know that they've been given an ability to teach, and they want to teach for their own glory, their own renown. Then you have people who want to teach because they really want to be able to help the students whom they'll be coming into contact with, and because they want God to be glorified through their teaching skills. You have people who seek the power of God in their lives so that through them, power can flow to heal people, set people free from oppressions, you name it. And largely, they want that power not primarily so that the people can be blessed, benefited, and not primarily so that God, who gives them that power, can be glorified, but so that they can be glorified. Attitude and disposition. As we discuss power, I definitely want us to ask God for it, ask Him to increase it, but I also want us to, number one, live our lives in such a way that godliness, righteousness, holiness are a great part of our life's equation. And so that as God's power does flow through us, in our hearts and in our minds, is all about God being glorified and not us. Do some examining. And I mean, take time to honestly and thoroughly examine yourself to determine whether you want God's power truly to be displayed through your life for God's glory or for your own glory. God doesn't have a problem with giving us honor, some level of glory, but it has to be what He is giving in His time and in His way, and not us working to draw attention to ourselves so that we're glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be careful that we're not glorifying ourselves within our own minds as we rehearse what God may have done through us. We think about it again and again and again, and we're proud of ourselves for what we did. Yes, we opened our mouths and words came out. Yes, we touched someone. We made contact by placing our hands on them. Yes, we spent time in prayer before that time of ministry. We spent time in prayer. We spend time in prayer day after day. And all of that's good. But what's not good is if we're spending that time in prayer, and we're spending time in the study of God's word, and we're ministering to people after spending that time in prayer and study because we want to be able to do things that will razzle-dazzle the people and get them to proclaim how great we are. No, ladies and gentlemen, let's not do that. Let's settle it in our hearts and settle it in our minds that we only want them to talk about how great God is. That's one of the things that made Jesus so great. He said he was always doing what he saw his Father in heaven do. He said he was always doing the will of the Father. He did great works, healing people of sicknesses and diseases, driving evil spirits out of people, you name it. And the people gave glory to God because of what was done through Jesus. Now, you have to remember, many of them were not seeing Jesus as God. And so when they were giving glory to God and praising God, often they were addressing Jesus Father, which is good, which is good. I just don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that when they were praising God, they were also praising Jesus, because they were really praising Jesus Father. And Jesus loved it that way, that he would do what his Father wanted him to do, and his Father would be glorified. Yet, Jesus did desire glory. Remember, in John chapter 17, while he was praying to his Father, he said, "Father, the time has come." Now listen to this carefully. Listen carefully. Listen closely to what I'm getting ready to read. "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son." Now there he is asking his Father to glorify him. He's getting ready to leave. And it is at the time that he's getting ready to leave the earth to return to heaven. In other words, at the end of his ministry, he asked the Father to glorify him, the Son. But that's not all. Listen to this now. "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Even Jesus' request that his Father glorify him ended in the Son glorifying the Father, because Jesus' ultimate desire when it came to glory was that the Father, his Father, be glorified. Glorify me for the purpose of me glorifying you. "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Notice the purpose of the work. It is to benefit the people for sure, but it is also to glorify the Father. "I have brought you glory on earth." How? "By completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." The Lord Jesus did not take it upon himself to glorify himself. He was perfectly fine with the Father glorifying him in the Father's way and in the Father's time. He knew that once he returned to heaven, he was to be glorified. He knew he had come to the end of his ministry. It was time for him to be returned to his Father in heaven, where he would be glorified. And so based on what he knew the Father had already determined would happen, he asked his Father to glorify him in the Father's presence with the same glory that Jesus had before the world began. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus was willing to give up his glory that he had before there was a world, in order to do the will of the Father, that will benefiting us, while also bringing great glory to his Father, who is now also our Father. For those of us who have submitted to Christ Jesus and allowed him to become the ruler of our lives, the Savior of our lives, let's truly examine ourselves thoroughly and honestly, to determine whether we really desire that we be the ones who are glorified through God's display of power in our lives. It should not be that way. Oh, it's okay if people come to us after we may have ministered in Jesus' name, in other words, with his power and his authority, and he blessed people through that ministry. And people come to us and say, I really appreciate what you said. I appreciate what you did. And for us to thank them for encouraging us. And we don't always have to say, to God be the glory. Sometimes that sounds so fake and artificial. Because people are saying it out of a sense of obligation. Jesus did not say every time he healed someone, to God be the glory. Even when people came to him and thanked him for what he had done, he didn't always say, to my Father be the glory. He healed 10 lepers. Only one came back to thank him and to worship him for what he had done. He didn't say, to my Father be the glory. He said, where are the other nine? I healed 10 of you. Where are the other nine? He didn't always say, to the Father be the glory. But you can best believe in his heart and in his mind, to his Father be the glory. That's why I keep saying attitude, disposition, attitude, disposition. What's really in your heart? Let's make sure that as we request that God give us more and more of his power, and that he give us more and more of his anointing, that we are requesting these only for the purpose of benefiting the people we will minister to and bringing glory to God's name. Let him handle our names, but let's bring glory to his name. Now, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at something else that has to do with power. It's going to have to do with healing. And we're going to find it in Proverbs chapter 4. I know a lot of you know exactly where I'm going. It's interesting, too, that whereas with a lot of the Proverbs, we'll find statements that are kind of juxtaposed, and you may find one concept contained in one of those statements while an opposing concept is contained in the other statement. This time, I'm going to read a passage where that's going to contain about 7 or 8 verses, and they're all going to be interconnected. That's something that you don't find, long passages of scripture in the Proverbs that are all connected. This passage will be connected. So stay tuned as we get ready to look more into power. Part 11.
Right on my tongue, so I can speak uprightly too. I want to walk uprightly. Whoa, walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. Help me, Lord, to walk and talk and speak and be upright.
Yeah.
I just want to be right.
Give it up for Jordan.